Welcome to Healthy Her, the podcast designed to inspire women to lead lives filled with health and happiness. I'm Dr. Amy Brenner, your host discussing nutrition, hormones, aesthetics, sexual health, and more. Join us each week as we dive into feeling better, looking better, and living better. Hi, podcast listeners. We got a comment on one of our social media platforms of, why can't every doctor just do a full hormone panel? We tried our best to answer that question on social media, but the answer is so complex. I thought it would be worth doing a video and an episode just on this. A lot of times, even in our practice, we get a patient of, I want all my blood work checked. And to be honest, there are so many blood tests. I mean, I'm talking hundreds of thousands of different kind of tests that a physician can order. And even in our practice, we aren't doing, probably lots of other blood tests. But what we are doing in our practice is we are looking at all of your hormones. So when a patient comes into our practice and wants their hormones checked, this is what we're looking at. And I break it down into, we like to look at your sex steroids, which is your estrogens, progesterone, and testosterone. We'll do a full thyroid panel. We'll look at your stress hormones. And then we also like to look at insulin levels and blood sugar levels. So let's dive into it a little deeper and compare what we do in our practice to what I see when patients say, I already had blood work done, and what they're usually bringing with us. So let's go back to sex steroids. In our practice, a typical evaluation of sex steroids includes looking at FSH, which is a brain hormone that stimulates your ovaries to make sex steroids. Typically with FSH, when somebody's in menopause, meaning they haven't had a period for over a year, their FSH is elevated, over 35 or 40. Somebody that typically doesn't need estrogen, their FSH is in the normal range. And that's actually a blood work that I see a lot of other physicians order of, are you in menopause or not? People will do an FSH and say, you're not in menopause, your hormones are fine. We also like to look at progesterone, estradiol, estrone, total and free testosterone. And I will agree with most of my OBGYN colleagues that looking at those hormones in somebody that's having regular periods, they haven't gone through menopause, that the blood work actually has a lot of limitations. And the reason is when we're measuring your blood, we're measuring the hormones that are floating around in your serum or your blood. And 97% of those hormones are bound up to proteins. And the action occurs of those hormones inside the cell. And we can't get inside your cells to measure those hormones. And so that's why a lot of physicians say, other than checking an FSH to see if you're in menopause or not, that checking those hormones is useless. I wouldn't say that it's useless because I do like to get a baseline level of hormones, basically to make sure your hormones aren't already excessively elevated. Maybe because you have polycystic ovary syndrome, you have a tumor that's producing excess hormones, maybe your significant other is on hormone therapy and we wanna make sure you're not getting exposure from that. So we just want to get a baseline level. But if somebody comes in, we'll say they're in their mid-30s, they feel great, they have no symptoms, and they want their sex steroid hormones checked, I would say it's probably not a worthwhile test and worthwhile to spend the money on that. So there are some limitations of those tests, and it's not as black as white as getting your cholesterol checked of, do I have a cholesterol problem and need medications? That's why doing hormone therapy in the premenopausal range in somebody that's still menstruating, and we're talking about Is a therapeutic trial of progesterone and or testosterone clinically indicated? It's not a blood work diagnosis. It's more of a clinical diagnosis. But I still like to get a baseline. Let's move on to thyroid. Again, my traditional medicine colleagues and what's being taught in medical school is still to get a TSH. TSH isn't a thyroid hormone. TSH is a brain hormone that your pituitary releases to stimulate your thyroid to make thyroid hormone. And then when there's not enough thyroid hormone around, your pituitary releases more TSH, so your TSH is elevated. But your pituitary is the most sensitive organ to thyroid hormone. And so it's only going to be elevated when you're already really depleted. So in our practice, we look at TSH, free T4, T4, again, sometimes we'll see people bring in a T4 blood work test, but T4 is not an active hormone. It's a prohormone, and it needs to get converted to T3, and that's what drives all of the cells of your body. T3 is the active hormone. So we look at a free T3, we look at a reverse T3, and then we look at thyroid antibodies. Next, we look at adrenal hormones. And in blood, we usually look at DHEA and pregnenolone. I think doing cortisol in blood for the average person who doesn't have Cushing's disease or Addison's disease, I think is cortisol in blood is a pretty useless test. So we usually start out by looking at blood work with DHEA and pregnenolone. And if those are abnormal, we'll actually recommend our patients to do a cortisol saliva test, which is really where we can see if somebody has a cortisol issue. And then we'll also look at some other hormones, insulin and vitamin D. And that's what we consider a basic panel when somebody comes in wanting their hormones checked. So back to our social media's comment of, well, why doesn't everybody do that? That's certainly not what I did 15, 20 years ago of how I was trained in OBGYN residency and in medical school. I had to go out and seek a lot of extra training on functional medicine and to be a hormone expert. And so most OBGYNs aren't specializing in hormone management. You would think that as an OBGYN, we're hormone experts. But I will tell you, our training is not to be hormone experts. Typical medical doctors in OBGYN are trained to prescribe birth control pills, FDA-approved medications, and to deliver babies. And so the basic reason is why OBGYNs or other doctors aren't doing a full hormone panel is because they haven't been trained to do so. And most likely, they also don't know what to do with that information. And I would 100% agree that I never order tests that I don't know what to do with the information or if it's going to change my management of how I would manage a patient differently. So I hope that gives you a little insight into what we order for our typical hormone panel and why other physicians may not be doing the same. Thanks for listening to Healthy Her. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a quick 5-star review on your podcast platform. Your feedback means the world to us and helps others discover our show. Do you have questions or want to discuss a particular topic? You can reach us by emailing ask@dramiebrenner.com or calling 513-204-8403 and leaving a voicemail. We might feature your question or comment in an upcoming episode, so don't miss out on the chance to be a part of the conversation. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes. We appreciate your support and can't wait to have you back with us next time. Take care and remember, your Healthy Her journey begins with you. This podcast is for general information only and does not constitute medical advice, the practice of medicine, nursing, or other healthcare services. No patient-physician relationship is formed. The information in the podcast and any references, material, or links are at the sole discretion of the listener and not meant to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Listeners should not delay or disregard obtaining medical advice for any medical diagnosis or issue
issues that they may have and should seek medical care or advice from their healthcare provider for any such conditions.